That's what the old covenant was to the children of Israel. When they were obedient to the covenant, it was an umbrella of protection for them. Now, I just happened to bring an umbrella today. An umbrella of protection. Here it says, your favor wraps around each one and covers them under your canopy or umbrella of kindness and joy. We have a canopy of favor. Now, an umbrella will not change the forecast. Amen? It does not change the forecast. It won't stop the rain. You pull out an umbrella and the rain says, oh, we got to stop now. It does not stop the rain. It does not stop the wind. How many of you ever had your umbrella turn completely upside down from the wind? And many times, it will not completely keep you dry. I've had to walk just from my house over to the ministry, which is a short walk, when it's pouring down raining, and I've got my umbrella. But even when I get into the office, my sleeves are wet, my shoes are wet. If the wind's blowing, it's blowing under the umbrella. I still get wet. So the umbrella of God's favor does not change the forecast of what's going on in the world. But it does provide shelter from it. Now, this is not really a good image of that umbrella or canopy of favor that God's provided. Bring me that real one. Ah, this is my canopy of favor. Hallelujah. Why? Because my God's a big God. Amen. He don't fool around with that little stuff. Amen? My God's a big God. Now, this still does not change the forecast. It don't stop the rain. It don't stop the wind. But I have more protection. And here it says, the canopy of God's favor. Hallelujah. That's what I walk in every day of my life. I am under this canopy of God's favor. Canopy. I has it. Favor. I has it. And so do you. How'd you like to get under my canopy? Yeah. Hey, look, a whole family can get under the canopy of God's favor. Spread it around. Hallelujah. Get under the canopy. Amen. A canopy of God's favor. That's what God has provided for us in times like these. Amen. A canopy of God's favor. I can live under it. You can live under it. That's God's best. He doesn't want you experiencing it from time to time. He wants you experiencing it every day of your life. And particularly when times are bad. After I got this message on January the 28th, and then, you know, since then, and I've studied it and studied it, God just keeps adding more to it. I read a definition of God's favor that I had not used before, that I had not read before. Isn't it interesting? You can preach on the favor of God for 53 years and God keeps showing you something new. One definition of God's favor that I recently read says, it's God stepping into our situation to make a world worthwhile difference. It's God stepping into our circumstances, in our situations, and making a worthwhile difference. Amen. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, and verse 7, and I'm just going to tell you what it says without quoting the verse. Satan is constantly endeavoring to try our faith. The trying of our faith, the Bible says, Peter says. Jesus tells us in John 10:10 that our adversary, the devil, is constantly endeavoring to steal, kill, and destroy. Peter also tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that Satan comes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen? See, this canopy of favor doesn't stop that. It stops him from being successful at it. Yes. Amen? He's going to come to try to steal the word. This canopy of favor doesn't stop that. He's going to come as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. This canopy doesn't stop that. But it does prevent him from being successful at it. Yes. Why? Because favor gives us advantage. Hallelujah. It gives us an advantage. Amen. Now, Psalm 91, you're all familiar with it, describing a canopy. When you abide under the shadow of El Shaddai, the Almighty, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. So we can live under this canopy or shadow or shield. Do you remember the children of Israel in the book of Numbers, chapter 9, verses 15 and 16 say this? And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle. And at evening, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. God provided a canopy for the children of Israel, a cloud and fire. Amen. A cloud and fire. And then the next verse, verse 16 says, so it was always. I like that. So it was always. In other words, this canopy is on your life forever. Some of you need to find out about it. Amen. You are under the canopy of God's favor. You have advantage. Hallelujah. You may experience the same test and trials that everybody else does. But if you know how to stay under the canopy, then you won't experience what many of them experience. A lot of them never overcome the test and trials. You can. Stay under the canopy. Amen. Stay under the canopy. I remember a number of years ago, Mark James and I took my motorcycle, and we were going to ride all the way to Arizona. And I had to go to Tulsa first to do a meeting. So we packed up on my Harley Ultra Classic, and I had a trailer that I pulled behind it and had all of our gear in it. And we started out for Tulsa and got just about two blocks from the hotel that we were going to stay in. And I had to preach that night. And it started pouring down raining. And we're just two blocks. I can see the sign to the hotel in the distance. All I had to do was turn right and go two blocks, and I could see the sign to the hotel on the left-hand side. But I also noticed in front of me was a student driver car. And there was a young lady driving and the instructor on the right side. So now it's wet. So, you know, you have to be very cautious on a motorcycle. And you certainly do not use your rear brakes. You got to use the handbrakes, stop it from the front. I know all this. I've been riding motorcycles since I was 14. So I know how to ride in rain. I know how to ride in snow. I know how to ride in, I know how to ride in hell. H-A-I-L, okay? I've had hell come down on me before. But anyway, I'm being very cautious because this student driver, I don't know how much experience she has. So she gets in the left lane, which is the lane I need to be in, because there's a lot of traffic and it's pouring down rain. And so I'm going along here, probably not more than 25 miles an hour, if that fast. All of a sudden, she decides to slam on her brakes. For no reason. She just slammed on her brakes. The rear of the car went like this. I'm not going to hit the rear brake, because I know if I go hit that rear brake, I'll go into a slide and lose control. I had to grab that handbrake and squeeze it as hard as I could. And because of that, my bike went into almost like a jackknife, you know. And the next thing I know, it's on its side, and me and Mark James are sliding. And then she took off. She took off. I doubt she even knew what she caused. And Mark James and I are laying on our side, sliding down the road. And I see my bike. It was like it's all in slow motion. And I'm sliding on my side. I turn back to make sure Mark James is okay. And he's got this look of fear on his face. But I know he's fine because there's traffic behind us. And I didn't want either one of us to get run over. And then I turn back and my bike's going down the road in front of me on its side. But that trailer with its weight in it kept it from just flipping all over the place. And I got up, got Mark James up. Now, it bruised my hip. And boy, it was hard getting up. Now, I've got this big ultra classic bike on its side. I can't pick it up by myself. Mark James was just a young boy. He wasn't able to help me. Not one soul stopped to check on us. Not one person stopped and tried to help us. They saw me trying to get that bike up. I couldn't get it up by myself. Finally, a man at a service station across the road, he come running out there and asked this brilliant question. You need some help? This is the way I look when I need help. Okay. And so he helped me get the bike up. It didn't hurt the bike at all. It scratched the chrome guard. That's it. No shattering of fiberglass, nothing. That's all that happened. Okay? And it's sliding on its side, but that's the only thing that happened. It scarred that up. Well, it didn't hurt the riding of it. So we got back on it and rode to the hotel. Now, by the time we got to the hotel, I have about 3 hours before I have to go preach. Oh, I could hardly walk. Dear God, that hurt. Oh. And then we go to the meeting. And I didn't say a word to anybody. Didn't call home and tell anybody. Now, Carolyn picked it up in the spirit and started interceding for me and Mark James. Okay? So I get to the service that night, and they got a platform I'm to preach on that had about 12 steps up to it. And I'm trying not to let in on the give in to it. Because I'm believing I'm going to be restored. I still got to ride to Arizona. Oh, dear Jesus, it hurt going up them steps. And I smiled all the way up. Nobody knew anything had happened to us. Next morning, we got on the bike and we took off. And we stopped somewhere and spent the night. And then we went on. And we're just about to get into Denver. And I had to preach that night in Denver. And we're riding along on that interstate. All of a sudden, I can see in the distance a storm. Oh, man, it's a storm. And there was three very expensive sports cars that passed us. They were racing. Come to find out, they'd started in New York and were racing all the way to the West Coast. And I mean, they were expensive sports cars. And they flew by us. And in a little while, Mark James kind of fell asleep, because when he'd fall asleep, I'd feel his helmet hit me in the back. So he's asleep on the back. And we're getting closer to this storm. We're about 25 miles out of Denver. All of a sudden, that storm starts pounding hail on us. I mean, big old golf ball size hail. All of a sudden, Mark James woke up and said, "Papa, somebody hit me." And I said, "That's hail, son." He said, "Yeah, it is." Now, we're out on this interstate, and there's no place to get off of it. And I'm riding along there, you know, and I'm thinking, where can I get off? I mean, this stuff is coming down. It hurts. And finally, I decided, I just got to get off somewhere. I saw a tree line over here, and I thought, well, maybe I can get under the trees, and it will help, you know, from getting pulverized by this hail. And so I pulled off and went through that tree line. And there was an old abandoned town back there. Wow. A ghost town. And I got back there, and nearly all the buildings were about, most of them had already fallen in. But there was one building. The only thing left was the top. The sides had fallen off. The back end of it had fallen, caved in. And it was just enough of that shelter that we could get the bike under. And I got under it. And boy, the hell's still coming down. But it wasn't affecting us anymore. Okay? So we got under a canopy. Now, the hell is still coming down. If we get out in it, we're going to get beat up again. But my mama didn't raise no fool. I found a shelter. I'm going to get under it and stay and let the storm pass. Okay? So we stayed under that thing for nearly an hour. And then it passed. So we got on the bike, come back up on the highway. And now I decided I'm going to pull over to the first service station and take a break, you know, and maybe get us something to drink. When I got up there, those three sports cars were there. I'm talking Ferraris, Aston Martins. We're talking $250,000 sports cars and up. I think one of them cost nearly $1 million. You ought to have seen how they were beat up. They didn't find a canopy. Amen. And they were all nearly in tears looking at their cars. And I got off the bike and stood over there and looked at them. And they said, "Dear God, how did you boys ride in that hell?" I said, we found a shelter. They said, "Well, we wish we'd have known there was a shelter. Look at our cars." See, the rest of the world may be hurting, but you and I have a canopy, praise God. And you say amen? We have a canopy of God's favor, which gives us advantage. Amen. It doesn't stop the storms, but it stops them from being successful. Hallelujah. Give the Lord another good shout of praise. Amen. Remember what it said? So it was always, this cloud and this fire. Amen. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. They had a cloud by day and fire by night, and it was always. God provided that. And he's done the same thing for you and I. In this crazy world that we live in today, praise God, God has provided something for us, a canopy of favor, and it's here always. Amen. Give the Lord another shout. Praise God. Genesis 39:4, talking about Joseph, and you all know the story of Joseph. It says, "And Joseph found grace," and the word grace and favor are synonymous. Grace, if you look in the Amplified Bible, usually when you see the word grace, it will write out beside it in parentheses, say, undeserved favor. They're one and the same. Joseph found grace or favor in the sight, or in his sight, talking about Potiphar, and served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And then verses 2 through 6, another translation says, Potiphar recognized that God was with him and saw that God was working for good in everything he did, and he became very fond of Joseph. Notice, outsiders recognizing. Outsiders recognizing. Unbelievers recognizing that there's something on us that they don't have. That we're under something that they don't have access to until they receive Jesus as the Lord of their lives. Amen?
Amen.
So this is basically what I'm experiencing. This canopy. Now, favor produces preferential treatment. It produces preferential treatment. Amen. Favor, you could also refer to it as exceptional kindness and privilege. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm a privileged person. Tell somebody, I have things happen to me that most people don't have happen in a lifetime. I'm under this canopy of God's favor. Amen. Now, Psalm 57:1, another word used in the Bible that means the same thing as a canopy, is shadow. Under the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge. Under God's canopy, I will make my refuge. And listen to this. Until these calamities be overpassed. The Passion Translation says, until this terrible trouble is past. That's where you want to be, is under God's canopy until all this blows over. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you still here?
Yes,
sir. Psalm 63:7 says, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow or the canopy of thy wings will I rejoice. And then the famous Psalm 91 verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow or the canopy of the Almighty. In the New Testament, we find another word that is used for shadow or canopy, and that word is overshadow. It's the word that the angel used when he spoke to Mary. And it says in Luke 1:35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. In other words, he's talking about a canopy. Now, overshadow means to cover or to shelter. And then I love this definition I found. Hallelujah. I just had to get up and run around my desk when I found this. Another definition of overshadow is to cover with a protective influence. I has it. I live under the canopy. I live under the shadow of God's favor. And that canopy provides for me a protective influence. Hallelujah. Amen. And how long will it last? Until the terrible trouble is past. Glory to God. So wouldn't you agree with me that it's in your best interest to get under the canopy?
Yes, sir.
Not only get under it, but stay under it. Why would you want to come out? Stay under the canopy. Amen. Now, go to Psalm 57. If you read Psalm 57, I'm not going to take the time to read it, but let me give you a little bit of history about it. Psalm 57. This was written at one of the lowest points of David's life. He had just been anointed king, but Saul sees David's popularity among the people and decides that David must die. David finds out about Saul's intentions and flees. Before long, David is hiding in a cave. That's what this Psalm 57 is about. David is hiding in a cave from this, or Saul's intentions, when this psalm is written. Even though he's hiding in a cave and Saul is out to kill him, David doesn't complain. He's determined to praise God through it all. Verse 5 says, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." And he repeats this in verse 11. Here he declares that "I will take refuge under the shadow of your wings." Another translation says, "I will take refuge. I'm going to get under the canopy until the storms of destruction pass." So what I want to offer you through this psalm is, this is good advice for us today, praise God. Get under the canopy. Amen. Get under the canopy until the destructive storms pass. God has provided this for us. Amen. I like to say it this way. God's got me covered. Amen. 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 Look at somebody and tell them, God's got you covered. Now, in verse 3 of the Amplified, it says, let me read the King James. "He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up." The Amplified says, "God will send forth his mercy, favor, and loving kindness." In the midst of all of this trouble, you can expect God to send forth his favor. Look at somebody and tell them, hold on, God's favor is on its way. Amen. All right. The favor of God is like a canopy or an umbrella over our lives. I've already mentioned this, but I want to repeat it. Umbrellas do not change the forecast. They don't prevent wind nor rain, and they might not even keep you from getting wet. They can, however, provide a layer of protection. The canopy or the umbrella of God's favor doesn't stop Satan from attacking us, but it does prevent his attacks from being successful. A canopy of God's favor could be viewed as an extra measure of God's grace that supports you, especially when you don't know how you will make it on your own. It provides that peace that passes all understanding when life doesn't make sense. It produces unspeakable joy when you think you've reached the end of your rope. Stay under the canopy. Stay under the umbrella. You do so by being obedient to God and always allowing his word to be first place and final authority in your life. Expect to see and expect to experience new manifestations, extravagant manifestations of his favor in your life every day. Now listen to this. Lamentations 3:22-23, the Amplified Bible says, "It is because of the Lord's mercy and loving kindness." And those are all synonymous with the word favor. So let me read it this way. "It's because of the Lord's favor that we are not consumed, because his tender compassions fail not. They are new every morning." I wrote in my notes, I have every right to get up every morning and expect new manifestations of God's favor. Amen. And so do you. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Psalm 5:12 in the New International Version. "Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." And the English Standard Version says, "You cover them with favor." So the righteous, which that's you, Look at your neighbor and say, that's me he's talking about. The righteous can count on being covered and surrounded with the favor of God at all times. With this knowledge, we can rest assured that in spite of hard and difficult times, God has got us covered. The word shield, which is used in the King James, will compass you as with a shield. The word shield here does not refer to a small round shield, but a standing shield, which is more like a massive barrier which completely covers you. You drive it in the ground and it up above your head. Amen. That's the kind of shield Psalm 5 is talking about. It is a massive barrier that covers you. It prevents us from experiencing failure and defeat. It does not, however, keep us from being attacked, but it does prevent Satan's attacks from being successful. Psalm 84:11 from the Amplified Version. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows present grace and favor, so no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And then Psalm 41:11 says this, by this I know thou favorest me, because my enemy doth not triumph over me. How do I know I have the favor of God? How do I know I'm under this canopy of favor? Because Satan never wins. God never fails. Satan never wins. And we're entitled to triumph always. Amen. By this, I know that thou favorest me, because my enemy doth not triumph over me. The Message translation says, no victory shouts from the enemy camp. Amen. There are no victory shouts going on in the enemy's camp. And the Passion translation says, I'll know you're pleased with me, or you favor me, when you allow me to taste victory over all my foes. God's favor on our life acts as a defense for us in troubled times. According to the prophet Isaiah, being triumphant at all times is part of our inheritance. Isaiah 54:17, the Amplified Bible, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. It's part of your heritage to be triumphant. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm living under the canopy of God's favor. And so are you. Become more aware of it. It will cause you to prosper and to be successful when nobody else is prosperous and successful. It'll cause you to prosper and be successful no matter what the circumstances may be. One commentary I read says this. This favor, it reaches beyond the present and is available to us into the unknown future. I love it. The favor of God, it reaches beyond the present and it's available to us in the unknown future. And finally, one last commentary. And it's promised to us in its fullest measure. Amen. And I have one more commentary. It surrounds us on all sides and completely covers us, and we need not fear any adversity. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is anybody in here living under the canopy of God's favor? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I want to ask, is there anybody in here this morning facing one of your most impossible tests that you've ever faced, whether it be financially, physically, whatever the case? Let's say this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus,
even though I may be facing
one of the most impossible looking situations I've ever faced, I will fear no evil.
I will fear no evil.
Because I know, that I have a covenant with the Almighty.
I have a covenant with the Almighty.
And I know,
according to His Word,
He blesses the righteous.
He blesses the righteous.
And I am one of the righteous.
And I am one of the righteous.
And He provides a canopy of favor.
And He provides a canopy of favor.
I have an advantage.
I have an advantage.
I will not give up.
I will not give up.
I will not turn back.
I will not turn back.
Quitting is not an option.
Quitting is not an option.
Because I have an advantage. I live under a canopy of favor. So in the name of Jesus, I leave this place today knowing that God is working behind the scenes
in
my behalf. And it's just a matter of time that all these storms will pass. I'll be victorious again. And I give my God praise for it. And do it right now.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Give God praise for it.